Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
ESPN Rochester.
The only way you can take ESPN Rochester with you is the Radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
It's Bills camp live from St. John Fisher College. Mike Danger, Gene Battaglia, Buffalo Bills training camp day two is in the books. And one of our regulars here to talk about practice from this morning, Matt Perino, the Syracuse Post-Standard, New York, Upstate.com. Matt, welcome aboard.
Great to be here. I look forward to this now, an annual seat on the couch here. And I'm very comfortable out of the dorm room for a few minutes. You guys let me in this very spacious and inviting little tent you got here.
We still have to work on the wet bar part of this, though. Then maybe next year we could still.
You
dream.
Need to work on the wet bar part of this. Some of us are okay.
All right. Yeah. Yes. You have your plans, Matt. The question everybody wants to know. I'm sure you're hit up a lot. How does Josh Allen look? Where would you start with Josh Allen here, year two?
You know, so it's so hard. I've realized that obviously this is my second camp. The difference from pads to no pads, from sure. No pads to pads is completely different. You know, there's plays out there where he'll snap the ball and the offensive lineman will take a knee. And you're just kind of like, okay, like how much can we really take from this? Now, with what we saw today, I'm seeing a lot of trying to figure out all these new pieces. And Josh Allen mentioned it yesterday. He said, we are in the process of figuring out how all these new guys fit in with what we have already, what roles they're going to fit in. And Cole Beasley, who I talked to after practice today, said, listen, we're around each other all the time. When we're not on the practice field, we're talking about what we did in the practice field, in meetings, in walkthroughs. He's like, we're going to figure it out. Give us a week, would you? And so that kind of stood out to me, too. Like, they're in this process of, you know, he's never thrown passes to Cole Beasley and John Brown before. I think John Brown is kind of assimilating himself into this system a little bit quicker. He had the head start in minicamp back in the spring. But I think that Cole Beasley so far, what you've seen is he's getting some separation. He's showing you that Cole Beasley flash a little bit. Now as we progress, it's going to be about Josh Allen finding him and putting it where it needs to be.
Yeah, the accuracy. I mean, I think that's always been the knock on Allen, right? And when you bring in a guy like Cole Beasley, you know, you're bringing him in to make your quarterback look better. He's always open.
Exactly. And the problem's going to be if we get into the season, and I did an AFC East preview with a beat writer from each beat in the AFC East, and they all kind of snicker a little bit when you talk about Josh Allen, yeah. You know, getting close to 4,000 yards, which I think at this point, you know, that's a lofty goal, but something that's being discussed, and rightfully so. He's shown an inability at times to be consistent with his accuracy. And those two plays in the red zone yesterday to Beasley, that's kind of like a microcosm of, you know, moments of his season last year. And he's got to figure that out. He's working on it. But if we continue to get into, you know, games and he's still making these mistakes, then you're going to start to sit here and think, is that something that can be developed, or is that just going to be something that they have to work around?
You had a really cool moment you caught on camera that kind of went viral in regards to Josh Allen. Tell everybody about it.
Yeah, so while we were waiting after practice yesterday for him to come over and talk to the media, he was signing for on this field here, the one closer to the locker room, and he was in the middle of an interview. And I went over there to take a picture, but I knew he was going to start signing, so I just flipped to video, started to record. And during the interview, the fan shouted out, "Josh Allen, you look awesome in shorts."
Yeah.
And he heard that, stopped the interview, walked over to the kid, signed an autograph, which happened to be a football that he handed him last December in the Miami Dolphins game on a touchdown run. So that young man, his name is David, came all the way from Florida, Boca Raton, Florida, to training camp to get the ball signed. Got a little emotional when he thought he couldn't also get a picture with his idol. Allen kind of went over, was getting grabbed in a bunch of different directions, came back, caught that moment well where he did actually snap a picture. Really cool story. I actually talked to Josh Allen today about the impact that, you know, we talk so much about, like, the expectations around these huge players that are, you know, superstars beyond belief. But there's a human element to this, too, that not everybody is like that, that will come over here and take 40 minutes after, you know, a practice in the sweltering heat out here in the humidity and be that guy. He is being that guy. And he said, told me today, it's because he used to be that kid. He used to be the guy, the kid in the front row, just hoping to see a San Francisco Giant in the locker room out at spring training and get an autograph. So, you know, on the field, there's work to be done, but he's hitting all the right notes off the field.
Josh Allen is the topic of conversation with Matt Perino of the Syracuse Post-Standard here in the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia, it's Bills Camp Live. And Matt, like all our guests, joining us on the Country Suite Hot Seat, brought to you by Country Suite and Triple O. Matt, how surprised are you to see the rookie, Cody Ford, starting right tackle both yesterday and today?
You know, I thought that we were going to open with Ty and Seke at that spot. It came out embedded last week that that's kind of where they were penciling in before free agency even really began. So that's where I thought the starting point was going to be. Sean McDermott said something very interesting. He was asked about Cody Ford's position flex and if we could see him at guard. And he said, eventually, I'd like to get him comfortable enough with what we where we see him. And then we'll start to kind of, you know, bolster things up for him a little bit. So I don't really think that I think that they're in the process of mixing and matching. You saw Ty and Seke on the left side with the second team, which made me think after Deion, he didn't spend any time there in the spring. I think Deion Dawkins is also going to be in the mix in terms of a position battle. I think that you have Adrian Waddle with the experience with New England. He struggled a little bit early on here in camp before the pads are coming on. But I think that all spots are open, and I don't even think as we get into the preseason games, if you start to see guys excelling, that might not be where they end up. We could see different things over the course of the preseason, and I think right now, I think there's two things that I'm dead set on. I think Quentin Spain's your starting left guard. He hasn't moved or budged, has the most starting experience at guard of anybody on this line, and Mitch Morse is your center. I really think that they want Deion Dawkins to be that guy at left tackle. But if there's even the slightest signs in the preseason where he hasn't turned a corner and he isn't kind of bringing things back to where he was as a rookie, I think Ty and Seke, man, he looks really good in that left tackle spot, more so than the right, because they need a strong blocker, run blocker in that spot, and I think that's what Cody Ford is. That's where he excels. You go back and you talk to – I listened to an interview that his – offensive line coach at Oklahoma did when the Bills drafted him, and he said, "I have never seen somebody so vicious in the run game as Cody Ford has been for me at Oklahoma." So I think Ty Nseke's skill set lends itself to being more successful on the left side. 6'8", 330. He's the prototypical size. And Deion Dawkins, man, if you could flip him into right guard and he can maybe potentially turn into a top 10 right guard in this league, then you're talking about an elite-level offensive line if you're getting all these contributions and all this, you know, young talent and veteran talent.
It's interesting to hear you say that, because you would think that if they were happy with Deion Dawkins at left tackle last year, we wouldn't be having this conversation. Observing the team last year, was it a product of Deion? Well, it's a little bit of both, I would say, but which one was it more of, Matt? Was it more of Dawkins not having a good year, or just everybody else is just so bad last year?
I think it was a shock. Yeah, last year was a shock to the system for Deion, because he got so used to the veteran presence of Richie Incognito and more so Eric Wood, I think, in that room, that they really buy into that leadership culture, you know, entire spiel that Sean McDermott is delivering. And I think that to lose that and to all of a sudden be thrust in your second year when you, it's a lot of pressure when you deal a guy like Cordy Glenn, a guy that did prove that he can, you know, be at least serviceable in this league, to then switch positions and then have that expectation of, you know, I think left tackle and center is important, and I think there's so many areas in the game why center is important, but left tackle, if you don't have a good left tackle, your quarterback's going to suffer because of it. And I think there's a lot of pressure on Deion Dawkins in that respect. So I think if he shows that he can't handle that, if he shows that it may be too much for him, and you even Sean alluded to it in one of his comments, I'm forgetting the exact way he phrased it, but they're going to mix and match. And I think that if they get to a point where, hey, we're paying Ty Nsekhe $5 million, he's 33 years old, and that's the best place for him, they'll put him there.
Matt Perino, Syracuse Post-Standard, NewYorkUpstate.com, our guest for Bills Camp Live in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. I want to stay on the offensive side of the ball, Matt. I'm curious as to who you think the offensive MVP has been through two practices. Who's stood out? Who's looked the best to you on the offensive side of the ball for the Buffalo Bills?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think taking all things into consideration, I got to give John Smokey Brown the shout-out. Yeah. He's, you know, seamlessly fit into things here. I think what we're going to see once this offense really gets out of the gates and going is an interchangeable rotation of Robert Foster and John Brown, with John Brown being kind of that starter, more the number one guy, with Zay as the two. And I think that you'll also see, I don't think they want to show their hand, but I do think there's going to be a lot of sets where those two guys are on the field together, because I think that's when you create the most mismatches down the field. How are you going to cover John Brown down the field? His versatility in terms of his, you know, short to intermediate routes as well. And Robert Foster, who I don't think got enough credit last year for his ability to, especially as the season progressed, make plays not only down the field, but some consistent plays, you know, 10 to 15 yard range. I went back and watched the last six games last year, and he did that quite a bit. And now you're talking about Zay Jones becomes an afterthought, and that's why I really think that Zay Jones is primed for a big breakout year in year three, is because I don't think teams are going to be afforded, you know, the option to focus on him, taking him out of their game plans. So, but so far in practice, back to your original point, I think John Brown, he's making plays. It'll be interesting to see if he can keep that going when they put the pads on.
Matt Perino, Syracuse Post-Standard, NewYorkUpstate.com, our guest live on the set here at St. John Fisher College. On the other side of the ball, we spoke earlier to Kevin Johnson, a player that coming off the concussion released by the Texans. And today we saw him, you know, practicing a little bit opposite Trey White, some in nickel. How would you assess right now the competition at that corner spot opposite of Tre'Davious White?
He was like the defensive shining star of spring, and but even during that whole process, never got a first team rep. Today he got sprinkled in with the ones finally. He's getting worked in the nickel as well. But what I like most about Kevin Johnson, and I think it's what Sean McDermott likes, he's talked about being nastier as a defense, but he's also talked about the importance of turning the ball over. They didn't do that a ton last year. More so in the beginning of the year, but that kind of faded. Levi Wallace, seven games, played really well. Only three pass defenses in seven games, no interceptions. So if Kevin Johnson can make his mark in this next few weeks in terms of continue to make plays, be around the ball, you know, make things difficult on receivers and, you know, flash that quickness, I think he can make a real run as a former first-round pick. You know that the talent is there at that spot, and you could continue to develop Levi Wallace. Or if he continues to play well and he doesn't win the job, you can kind of deploy him strategically, pass him when you know. But I will say also, E.J. Gaines is playing well.
Yeah.
Second team, he's getting a lot of reps there, but this is a guy that did it in this defense before in 2017. So they have a great problem to have. We talked to Tre'Davious White today, and he said this is the deepest, most talented cornerback room he's ever been in. And that's going to push all of these guys to be better.
Matt, the preseason is going to be fascinating, and I know we're going to see this preseason very much like we saw last preseason, a handful of controversial calls centering around a new rule, the pass interference rule.
Yeah.
The corners wearing oven mitts during practice to prevent the grabbing that could get that defensive pass interference call. How important is it going to be for these guys to have the discipline to keep their hands off of wide receivers? I mean, this could change the outcome of any game that's played through the course of the season.
And that's why you talk about the importance of that quickness and that like ability to make plays of Kevin Johnson. If you're there, if you can use your legs instead of your hands to make plays, that's what I think might set him apart quite a bit. But that's a coaching factor. You know what I mean? Sean McDermott, Butler, they have to be in these guys' ears throughout this whole process and say, listen, you can't be silly. You can't cost us, because let's be honest, with this offense, it's going to be better. There's no way this is going to be the 31st ranked passing offense again with the weapons they have. If they are, there's going to be some trouble, you know, as we go along here. But I think on the defensive side, you still have to make plays. You can't put your offense in bad spots where you're giving up points because of silly penalties.
This time last year, and I forget what day of camp it was, actually, but we had a day where Kyle Williams, my goodness, three straight downs of sacks. And I guess what I'm going with this is Ed Oliver. You could say, hey, the offensive line looks much better this year because we're not hearing a lot about Ed Oliver. But Ed Oliver, so far, the first-round pick for the Buffalo Bills. What's the early review here?
I haven't really noticed him until today, late today. And I think, again, it's hard. I think those days that you were talking about were pad days. And that's when they're actually, both sides of the line, they're going at it. And I think what stuck out to me yesterday was from Sean McDermott on Oliver. He said he's still got a ways to go. And coming into camp, Tre'Davious White, it may have been in a video or an interview. NFL.com interview. He said that he was impressed with how much Ed Oliver was in his playbook throughout the spring. Like, you know, you hear certain things about certain guys. Ed Oliver came in with the whole jacket controversy, and you wonder, you know, saying he was ready to play in the NFL since he was a freshman. So you wonder about the work ethic a little bit. And I thought that maybe that might be an area where the Bills might not have been a fit with Ed Oliver. But Tre'Davious White said, man, ever since he got here, he's been dialed in. But even with that, Sean still said he's got a ways to go. So I think it's going to be building blocks, right? One day he's going to make a play. One day a light's going to go off in his head. And I think you're going to see over the course of the next few weeks, I said, I anticipate him being at least mixed in with the ones by the red and blue scrimmage game back in Buffalo. And I think that, you know, if you're a Bills fan, you're hoping that he's in that starting lineup by week one. But even if he is, even if he isn't, you got to remember the coaching staff and the philosophy. This is a rotational defensive line. All of these guys are going to be – that's why they paid Jordan Phillips to come back, because they believe in what he brings to the table. And I think that they're better in these short spurts, especially Ed Oliver at his size. You see, I will say you have seen at times where he's dealing with the vast difference in size from the college game to this level.
Matt, the Bills on defense lost a vocal leader in the locker room with Kyle Williams retiring. You know, I think it's safe to assume that Lorenzo Alexander has kind of picked up those pieces and has taken that. But I'm more impressed by what we heard yesterday at the podium from Tremaine Edmonds. I mean, speak to what he looks like on the field and how he's matured over the course of this last offseason.
Like, it's one thing to be so physically gifted that certain things in sports just come easy to you. The little things in this game come easy to Tremaine Edmonds. Like, you know, coverage. Like, you go back to the schoolyard, one-on-one coverage, that's 101 level stuff. You go out for a pass, if I'm faster than you, it's going to work. If I'm bigger than you, it's going to work. But what I've been so impressed with about Tremaine Edmonds is his consistent and dedication, more so dedication to his craft, learning his craft, building it. And I think, more so than being a vocal leader, I think he's having an impression on his teammates, even the veterans, with his work ethic and with, you know, I think Lorenzo Alexander back at camp last year told me, man, it is overwhelming. I would be overwhelmed if I had to go from outside linebacker to middle linebacker, everything that comes with that, and then, oh, by the way, at 20 years old, tell all these vets what's going on. And you all these guys see that. And over the course of time, when that consistency is there and the development and evolution of him as a person, he's only 21 years old. I mean, just imagine what this kid's going to be like when he's 25. So, yeah, I'm right there with you. And I think Tremaine Edmonds is why this defense could be special. I think they have all the components everywhere. You talk about the secondary, it's good. The D-line probably will be improved at some point. But yeah, I think Tremaine Edmonds is special talent.
Matt Perino, grilling Matt Perino. He's on the hot seat, brought to you by Country Suite and Triple O here in the sports bar. Matt, are we concerned about the tight ends here? Today, Jason Kroom, hamstring injury. I don't know if we know the severity of that, but the soft tissue at this point, it's never a good thing. Tyler Croft not going to be. Or is it, these rookies might end up being something here?
You know, I really think that Dawson Knox has a chance to be, a real factor, a real weapon for this offense because of just the intangibles, the speed, the quickness, the athleticism. But he's being pushed into a very, very prominent role, and I'm not so sure that it's fair to him. Push aside whether or not he's ready, and we've all documented what happened at Ole Miss and, the production there, the lack thereof. But I just think that there's not really veterans in that room outside of Ali Smith, who was never really a pass catcher in this league, right, to kind of show him the way. And I think it's nice that there are some weapons, that Josh Allen can use. But I think that was one of the parts that we're missing in this offense last year, is that Charles Clay was an absolute non-factor. Jason Kroom made a few plays, but not enough. So you're putting a lot on Dawson Knox, and so far so good. But one bright spot for Bills fans is he is enjoying the flip from being an afterthought back at college when he was playing with DK Metcalf and AJ Brown to now being the guy in an offense that needs to utilize the tight end. So maybe it's, he's got the right attitude, and maybe he can start to figure it out. And he's working pretty heavily with Josh Allen. Allen's always in his ear on the sidelines, so we'll see how it goes.
I didn't think there was a player on the field that can make Josh Allen look small. But Tyree Jackson makes Josh Allen look small. Now, I know that he might not even make the team, so we're going to waste a little bit of bandwidth here talking about Tyree Jackson, but I just find him to be a fascinating figure. I think he's a compelling player. I'm curious as to whether or not you think the Bills carry three quarterbacks if Jackson does actually make the final roster, and what you've seen out of the UB product so far at camp.
I'm glad you brought him up, because I put in my observations today. I think it is noteworthy that Tyree Jackson at this stage, after what we saw in minicamp, more so at rookie minicamp, just that he looks comfortable. I don't want to ever in this training camp do like a how does Josh Allen look compared to Tyree Jackson. But there were a lot of easy short throws that Tyree was making today where I was like, man, that was kind of the knock on him at UB, especially late in the season last year when he wasn't making those throws. So I think that a lot of credit should go to Ken Dorsey. I've seen him and talked to him, and he's been working with Tyree quite a bit. Josh Allen obviously has been working with him as well, but he just looks comfortable. He looks like he belongs, which he sailed a couple at rookie minicamp where you're like, yeesh, man, this could go really bad. So I don't necessarily think that they'll carry three quarterbacks, but I do think that he'll make it to the practice squad. And he does project as the ideal long-term backup to Josh Allen.
Matt, before we let you go, if we're looking at characters, so to speak, you caught up with Bobby Johnson. If you're heading to practice Saturday or Sunday and you've never seen Bobby Johnson, I don't think he'd be hard to pick out.
No, and actually it's funny. A lot of people, and I think they took a picture together, a lot of people think he looks like the long-lost brother of Sal Capaccio.
Yes.
Yeah. I think they posted a picture on social media about that. But I'm a big Bobby Johnson guy early on. I think one of the biggest problems on this offensive line last year was just the lack of energy, in the unit. I don't think there was any desperation, when things were really going bad. And, you hate to talk badly about anybody, but I don't think Juan Castillo brought that juice or that energy to this group. You're never going to have that problem with Bobby Johnson. I walked up to him, dripping sweat in a hoodie, 95-degree weather, and he's like, yeah, I'm just trying to burn a couple pounds while I'm out here. And I'm like, well, I'm about to faint just looking at you. But, no, he's a really intense guy. He's a fun guy. He's very approachable. If you see him out here and you're doing pictures, definitely call him over. It's worth a conversation, and he's more than willing to have one. So, yeah, I think that's a great find. And I asked Sean McDermott today about Bobby Johnson and Ken Dorsey. Like, what are the early returns? And he said, again, which he said, I think, in minicamp, it's amazing to see the effect that Ken Dorsey has had on Brian Daboll in just allowing him to sprinkle himself among the position groups more, where last year he was attached at the hip with Allen because he felt he had to guide him. Now he can kind of leave Ken Dorsey to things. Bobby Johnson's over there. He can leave Bobby Johnson because another note, talking about the run game, we talked a lot about that this offseason. Sean McDermott gave us a little nugget today that Bobby Johnson has been instrumental in developing the game plan when it comes to turning that running game around. How is the different mixes and matches of the offensive linemen going to lead to more success in that area? So he's engaged. He's plugged in, a totally different vibe around that position group. And for Bills fans, you got to be excited because it was bad last year.
Matt Perino, Syracuse Post-Standard in the Country Suite hot seat, brought to you by Country Suite. And Triple O, you're always gracious with your time, Matt. I want to make sure you have plenty of time to tell our listeners what you're working on for this weekend and through the duration here at camp.
A lot of cool stuff. I will give you a little preview. I'm meeting with Chad Hall tonight, wide receivers coach. We're going to be discussing a bunch of different topics because he is an intriguing guy for me. You know, when it comes to this Bills team and this receiver group that struggled last year, they've promoted a guy that's only been coaching for a few years here into a very important role. So I'm very anxious to get to know him. I had a nice conversation with John Brown yesterday. So after the Chad discussion and the John, I'm hoping to have a nice story on
Do
Sunday.
We know that he – does he prefer smoke or smokey? Did you get to the bottom of that?
He likes both.
Both.
He likes both. As long as the steam is rising, he's all good with it. But, no, he's a fun guy. He's real quiet and real reserved. But I think that there's a real competitor in there and a real fun guy. So I think Bills fans are going to like John Brown.
He's one of our favorites, Matt Perino, and next year we'll have the wet bar set up here, so maybe some monitors. We'll improve the set here for you.
I like it. Well, I got to say, you have the fan pointed in my general direction, so I'm gracious for that.
Well, we're gracious for you and your time here, Matt. Enjoy the rest of your weekend in the dorms here at St. John Fisher College. Practice tomorrow. Practice on Sunday. Matt Perino is the guy you want to follow on Twitter, at Matt Perino. Read his work at NewYorkUpstate.com and the Syracuse Post-Standard. One of our regulars, Matt Perino, joining us in the sports bar for Bills Camp Live. Thanks, Matt.
Thank you.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.